guys, welcome to Maker Stories. As the name suggests, it is all about stories of makers, wherein in each episode, I will get into casual conversation with makers. And we talk about how they work, how they live, and what motivates them. In this episode, I have Jasmit Singh as my guest. Jasmit is the founder of G-Moon Makerspace. Listen to know more about his journey, how he started G-Moon Makerspace from nothing, and how he used different models of printing tools and electronics items to grow the community and reach of the makerspace. So let's get started. Welcome, Jasmit. Welcome to Maker Stories.
Hey, Samar. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Can you introduce yourself and share your story?
Sure. So my name is Jasmit. I'm the founder of Delhi's first makerspace, which is called G-Moon Makerspace. And which we founded, I think, in 2014, September. And I've seen the maker movement grow in India, and that's why I'm doing this podcast now, I guess.
Yeah, so can you also talk about your story as such, what you did, what your education looked like? How did you start your G-Moon Makerspace?
Okay, so back in 2013, I had completed my master's in 2012. And then for about a year, I was working as a freelancer for this American company, where I used to make Arduino codes for their hardware. So they used to make the hardware, and then I used to write the Arduino codes for that hardware. Stuff like libraries, example codes, that kind of thing. After that, about a year, I figured, okay, I wanted to start my own company and do my own research and development in robotics. And I wanted to basically improve the trend of robotics that was happening in India. So, everybody was teaching the same old things, and nobody was focused on new platforms. So I started my own company, G-Moon Technologies, in 2013. And then 6 months later, we did a lot of market research, and we found out that the main problem was of hardware, getting cheap hardware in India at the time. So I started my online store, Roborium.com, which is for all robotic parts. So what we did was we brought international hardware into India, and basically at the cheapest price possible. So 6 months after that, we started looking at interns and employees that we could hire. And I found out that not many people had practical experience of working with all of these hardware. And I couldn't keep on doing it all of the things myself. So I thought, okay, let's just start up a makerspace where anybody can come and learn these stuff. And whoever we decide, like, whoever we think is showing progress, we'll make them an intern at a company, and we'll give them projects that they can work on. Once they're done with their own projects, we can give them projects of our own company and see what response we get. So that's how we started the makerspace in Delhi.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So you mentioned about starting the first makerspace in Delhi. So,
right.
So can you also talk more about, maybe in detail, about what kind of work you do over there? Maybe you can talk about one or two projects, and what kind of resources are available over there?
Okay.
And what kind of people actually come over there?
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, we started with a focus on robotics. So that was always the aim, that, robotics was one of the things that we had to do. And robotics, along with stuff like home automation, wearable electronics, IoT, all of these are interlinked, sort of, in a way that most of them use the same sensors, they have same motors that are being used. Somebody who's working in robotics, they tend to migrate to some other field as well. So they're all interlinked. Okay, we'll open up a makerspace where you can do all of this. So initially our tools were focused on all of these things. So we had all sorts of soldering irons, we had all sorts of glue guns, we had Dremels, we had a lot of stuff, like a lot of electronics that we had. So anything that you can find on the online store that we had it in stock in makerspace, so that anybody can come and use the ultrasonic sensors, the motion sensors, all types of DC stepper motors, servo motors. So that is what we started with. But then later on, we saw that okay, some people who knew about the maker space, they wanted to do a little bit of woodworking. So this one guy came up from MIT, who was working in India, who was doing his research in India, and he saw that this was the only maker space in Delhi, and he wanted to visit and basically work on wood to create something that he was working on. And so we did have the tools for it. We did have the jigsaw. We did have the drill machines that he needed, but we did not have the wood at the time. So we asked him how long is it going to take you to get here? And he said he's going to come by like an hour. And we immediately went out and we got some wood that he would need. And we basically that is the day that our woodworking started at Makerspace. And later on, a new community came up, which is cosplay. So a lot of the cosplayers started getting in touch. They wanted to fit electronics into their costumes. So that movement started when we had enough people coming in. We said, okay, let's just focus on the stuff that cosplayers need as well. So we now have materials for cosplayers. You can find foam here. You can find latex. You can find casting resins. You can find 3D printer. You can find basically a lot of paint, spray paints, and that kind of stuff now as well. So as the community grew, as the direction that we were going into grew, and the materials and everything started growing as well. We got new tools, we got new materials, depending on what people needed at the maker space.
I think that is an interesting story. To me, it looked like a lots of investment. So how do you sustain and make money out of this venture?
So like I said, we started our online store before we started the maker space. So we had a Roborium already going, and we had certain traction at the time, though we've never spent any money on marketing it. So all the profits from the Roborium actually went into opening up the maker space and using all the tools that we getting all the tools that we had. So this is actually, I think, one of the reasons that we were able to sustain initially, because we had no members initially. Not many people knew what a makerspace was at the time in 2014. And not, I think still a lot more people not don't know, but at least there are regular people who go to makerspaces now. But at the time, initially it was very tough. So all the profits of Roborium actually went into the makerspace.
So most of the maker spaces have a concept of some registration. So maybe a one-time registration, monthly registration, or some maker spaces also has a yearly registration. So do you have also something like that?
Yeah, we do. So we have when we started, we copied the model that was operating in the US. So there was pay, you could be a member for a day, you could be a member for a weekend, you could be a member for a whole week, and then fortnight, and then a month. And the fees that we kept was compared to what the American makerspaces were charging. So I saw somewhere that they charge like $180 per month. So that is what the model that I went into with. But I realized that people would not be willing to pay that much money. So $180 is roughly what about like 12,000 rupees.
Correct.
So nobody would actually pay 12,000 rupees per month to join a makerspace, especially if you're focusing on students, which we do. So our makerspace is located in an area where there are a lot of engineering colleges nearby. So if I wanted to focus on those and I wanted to get the young crowd in, I would actually have to make it cheaper. So we figured out, okay, we reduced it a lot. So now I think for a monthly fees it's about 3,000. So we worked on the model a lot. So we kept iterating, we kept figuring out what is the right cost, what is the right tools that people need, and all that we had to figure out as we went. So we do have that model now. We only have now I figured out that people usually either work on weekends. So a weekend model suits a lot of people who are in the IT industry, and because they only get time on weekends, so they choose to pay for that time only. Students who are working on major projects or minor projects for their engineering, they like to pay for a monthly package. And sometimes if somebody's coming from outside India or outside Delhi and they want to visit, they pay for a day package. So we did away with the week-long package, and we did away with the yearly package mostly. because these are the main three that most people use. So that's how our model works.
All right, you mentioned about most of the engineering students visit your makerspace. But I'm sure most of the students will be needing some help with whatever they are doing, be it a soldering or be it any variable. So who are those people who actually help those students?
So I'm always here. I'm always here for helping anybody who walks into Jaimun Makerspace. If I'm not around, there's somebody from my team who's already, I mentioned that, okay, somebody is coming. And if they want to do, they want any sort of help, you have to help them out. So either me or somebody from my team is always there to help out. If some people, so some of my own team doesn't know how to use the power tools when they initially come in. So that is what the first thing that they get to do. We hand them the jigsaw, we hand them the drill machines, and we tell them, okay, just try this out, see what you can make with it. So once they're trained, they can actually train other people as well. So that's how that works.
Solid. Coming back to your education. So what do you think of your education? Most of the engineering students, after completing graduation, they are not satisfied with what they have done. So what are your views? Has it helped you personally or professionally?
Yeah, so I think it helped me a lot because in my education, I was not very happy with my BTEC. Not that I could not do anything else after my BTEC, I just didn't want to. I wanted to study more. I didn't want to get a job at the time. So I wanted to study more. So I did a master's in computer science as well. I did a BTEC in computer science and then a master's. So after doing my master's, I realized, okay, I do love making things by hand. Okay. I built robots by hand, and all of the robots that I built during my BTEC and my computer science, I did alone. So I had nobody helping me out. So I did the computer science part of it myself. I did the mechanical part of it. I did the electronics part of it. So my own motivation behind that was actually why we started the makerspace. I thought, okay, if I can do it, I think anybody else can do it. So that's, I think it helped me a lot in creating the makerspace. So it's a place where you can come and anybody can learn any skill. They don't have to be fixed to what their education is. They don't have to be limited by that. So if you're a computer science student, we encourage people who come here to, you know, either pick up a skill in electronics or mechanical if they're from a computer science background. And if they're from an electronics background, we ask them, okay, just either you should learn a little bit of more coding, or you should learn a little bit of 3D printing or designing. Similarly with mechanical people, we encourage them to learn a little bit of electronics as well. So I think that helps. So having multiple skills set is important. So I think that mindset came through my own education. So I think that helps, yeah.
So completing your bachelor's in computer, then doing master's, and then starting your makerspace in Delhi. So what were some of the challenges? So maybe finding initial few customers. So can you briefly talk about few of the challenges?
Sure. So the first challenge was actually letting people know what a makerspace is, what we can do at a makerspace, and what the concept behind it is. So initially, in fact, the week that we started, somebody from outside India came and visited. He was visiting India for some other reason, and he just saw that there was a new makerspace in Delhi, and he visited us, and he was very helpful in teaching us how his makerspace worked. And we took that to heart. We took that knowledge and we said, okay, this is what we need to do. This is what how we can work. So he gave us the ideas that that basically you can have people come over and get parts for rent. So no other makerspace in India had that function at the time. There was only one makerspace in India at the time, in fact. We were the second one. So we let people take parts on rent, electronics that they could take home and then they could return and get a refund of some amount. So opening up a library sort of a thing, that that was a new concept at the time. So that was one of the challenges on how to figure out all of the logistics of it, and how to figure out what the cost of the membership was going to be, and would be like what kind of people to target, and who would we invite to the makerspace for workshops and for lessons and that kind of stuff. So we had a lot of ethical, we had a lot of workshops on ethical hacking. We did a hackathon initially as well. We did workshops on Arduinos a lot. So figuring all of that out, we figured all that out by, you know, actually doing it and actually going through it in stages. If something didn't work, we didn't use that again. If something worked, we continued doing that for a long while. So that's how, this is what some of the challenges there.
So now you've been running your makerspace for the past 3 years, and I know for sure.
Yeah, almost.
In US, maker culture is quite popular, and I think most of them will be aware of what is maker culture and what all materials will be available at makerspaces. So what are your views on Indian maker culture?
Okay, so Indian maker culture is still in the nascent stage, I would say, because everybody's making projects for themselves right now. And the maker movement is not about that. Maker movement is not about just consuming and creating stuff for yourself. It's actually about creating stuff that others can also use. So it's creating small industries. If you look at the worldwide trend, it's creating startups everywhere. It's creating small industries. It's creating a lot of jobs. That's not happened in India yet, because a lot of the people who are working, they're working to build a project that they can show in college. I think that is a limiting factor, but hopefully in the next 2-3 years, by 2020, a lot of that will change, and people will start looking at the maker and the DIY culture as something that can be a replacement of their jobs. So, you know, creating something, creating a product that they can actually sell somewhere. And that's one of the challenges that also, you know, getting people to understand that the project is not just a project that they can show in college. It has value more beyond that, the senses that they put into it. So what I see here in Makerspaces is that a lot of the people who create the projects, they show it in their colleges and then they dissemble it, or, you know, sell it off part by part to their juniors. So that I wanted to tackle that problem as well. So I thought, okay, let's just teach these people that your project is a lot worth, is worth a lot more in its entirety than, you know, the parts are. So I started makermundi.com, which is where anybody can come in and they can sell their parts, or they can sell their projects or prototypes to people. And once those guys who are actually selling the stuff there, once they see that, okay, this is something that they can sell, they start thinking about that as a replacement to their jobs. So that's a trend that's picking up right now. So I hope that trend continues and picks up steam, and we can create more jobs in it. You know, people can be their own bosses.
I think that's great. So now I think let's talk about some of your personal question. So what's your typical day looks like?
So I wake up, I reach the makerspace by around 9:30, 10, and then I basically had take care of all the workings of rovorium.com first, and because most of the costumes are not there at the makerspace at the time. They usually come around 1 p.m. or later on once their college classes are done. So I take care of the Roborium. I take care of everything else before that. And when I know that somebody is coming into the makerspace and it's roughly time, then I move into my maker mode and basically help them out with whatever they need. Or, you know, I just sit back and let them do whatever they want, and if they have any problems, they can call me. I usually help out with the coding and that kind of stuff. And then at around 6 or 7 p.m. and everybody's gone home, I can just relax and finish up the 3D printing that's going on and watch the 3D printer in action. And once that's done, I just go back home.
What do you do after going home?
So after going home, I just I probably watch a movie or something. Usually I prefer to watch like sci-fi movies or read a book, which gives me new ideas for robots and you know, plan for robots and plan and figure out what to do the next day. So I like to think about how to build robots and, you know, what kind of new robots we can make. So that's why I watch like a lot of sci-fi shows and stuff.
Well,
so that's what my typical day likes.
So can you also mention some of the apps or the tools that you cannot live without?
I think a heat gun and a glue gun would probably be the two tools that I don't think I can live without, and a soldering iron, of course. So these three are my major go-to tools. I use them for everything from electronics, cosplay. I use all of these three tools. If I'm working on wood, I'm going to need, at certain point, I'm going to need a glue gun. If I'm working with a foam or something like that, or acrylic, I'm going to need the heat gun and the glue gun at some point. And the soldering iron, of course, I need to, sometimes I need to solder circuits, and sometimes I use it to punch holes through the acrylic. So I use these are the major three tools that I use all the time.
What about some of the apps?
Apps I don't use very much. The apps that I do use are usually related to what we're building. So if we're building a product that requires an app, that's the app that I'm using, usually.
Mm-hmm. All right. So why you do what you do, and what makes it all worth it? So even after finishing your college and deciding not to take any common IT job and starting your own makerspace, starting your own company, and doing multiple ventures over the years.
Okay. So I do what I do is because I know in my heart that I can't be a 9-to-5 job person. I never was. I never could work in that limited sort of a time frame. Sometimes when I'm busy with a project, I go months without a proper sleep. Or sometimes when I'm not in the mood to work, I go weeks without going to the office, even. So, but that's the kind of thing that I have. So I can't work in an office environment. So that's why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. I started my own company, and plus, I came into computer science by luck, because most of my friends were joining the same course in BTech, and so I did not plan to join a computer science. I had no interest in it. I was a bio student. So computer science I had the skills for because of my education. Mm-hmm. Electronics I had a passion for since I was like 10 years old. I've always loved toys with electronics in them. And mechanical, I figured that I had the talent for. I had a natural talent for mechanical. So that is why I went into robotics. That is why I went into opening up a makerspace where I can teach other people about this. And I think it's worked out pretty well for me so far, yeah. And so what makes it worthwhile is that, somebody who comes in with a limited educational background, and they get to do something that is completely beyond their education, and the expression that they have once they finish that project, it's priceless. I think that makes it all worthwhile, you know, getting somebody, teaching somebody new skills that they can use that they did not think they could use because of the education that they were having. So I think that makes it worthwhile.
That's great to hear. So what's next for you, personally and professionally both?
Okay, so personally, professionally, in both of the ways, we are now working on research and development at my company. So planning to build robots that can actually be manufactured, and we can take that into the consumer market. So that's what we are focusing on personally. That's what the company is doing, and personally, I'm actually learning to build Android apps by myself. I have never built an Android app on my own. I usually have other people who build the app for me, but now I'm working on creating my own apps and learning Android Studio, and also simultaneously learning things like AI, machine learning, a little bit of Raspberry Pi I'm picking up as well. I'm partial to Arduino a lot, so Raspberry Pi I'm a little slow to pick up, but that's what I'm focusing on right now. And in the company, we're working on robots, we're working on things like animatronics, we're working on things like Android related IoT apps and stuff. So we're working on a lot of hardware and software integrations at the company.
Mm-hmm. All right, amazing. So any advice for fellow Indian makers who are just getting started or who have been in this industry for quite some time?
Sure. So the one advice I would give them is visit a makerspace, because once you visit a makerspace, you get an idea of what the makerspace can do for you. So if you're starting out, visit a makerspace. You might not know what you're going to see there. So you might not know what to expect. But once you do, it'll open up your mind to a lot of different things. So we have people coming here who have no idea how electronics works, and they come and see, okay, this is easy. This is something that they can learn. So that feeling and that thought only comes once you visit a makerspace. So visit up a makerspace, whatever makerspace you can find in your area, or get in touch with somebody who's a maker already and ask them on how they are started. And I think most of the maker community will be very full, and so you can ask anybody online, okay, this is what I want to do, and how do I start, and they'll tell you, even if it's any of the makers, any of the people who started their own maker spaces. I think everybody's accessible easily online. So I think that's the first thing that any Indian maker should do once they think about that this is something that they want to work on.
So, who is your role model?
Elon Musk, I would say. Elon Musk and Tesla. These two are probably my role models. And of course, like scientists like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Stephen Hawking. So these guys are my inspiration on choosing a career in science. Agriculture, I would say, the father of cosplay and father of maker movement, which is Dave. So these guys, and Massimo Banzi, who is the founder of Arduino. So these guys are pretty inspiring, and they started something from nothing. So I think these guys are awesome.
All right. So one final question. So who is someone you would like to see next in Maker Stories?
I've been out of touch with a lot of the people online, but I guess I think there's a lot of people that I would like who are not in the metro cities. So there are a lot of people working in Ahmedabad. There are a lot of people working in smaller cities in like Odisha and stuff. There's a lot of makers, but they don't have a maker space, or they don't have the tools accessible there. And but they make do with it. So and people in Northeast India, so there's a lot of makers there, but either they don't have maker spaces, or they don't have the right platform. So you don't get to hear from them very often. So people from Mumbai, people in Bangalore, people in Pune, I always hear from these guys regularly and what they're working on. But the people in smaller cities, I don't get access to. So I think those guys would be the one that I would like to actually hear from, see what they're working on, what kind of innovation they're doing according to their own environments,
All right.
limited resources that they have.
Yeah, all right. That's great. So
Yeah.
before we sign off, is there anything that you would like to share with the maker community?
Sure. Visit Jaimon Makerspace anytime, and just give me a call. My phone number is listed everywhere on all of the websites that I mentioned. You can reach me on Facebook. If you have any doubts, I have a Facebook page called Bearded Maker, and you can reach me there as well. So get in touch. I'd love to hear from people, on and see what they're working on and what they think about the maker movement.
All right. I think that's great. So thanks, Jasmine, for your time and sharing your story.
Thanks so much for inviting me for
All
this.
right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, request you to share it within your social network. You can share your review and comments to us via email. makerstories@outlook.com. I will be back with more maker stories in next episode. Until then, happy making.